Hello, everyone. Patriot Underground here. So before we begin the show, I wanted to take a quick moment to remind everybody to check out PatriotSwitch.com. Click the link in the description and begin your journey making the switch to purchasing your personal and household products from a patriotic company who shares your value system and doesn't funnel your money directly into evil operations that are designed to destroy us. This is a no-brainer, folks. I made the switch and I couldn't be happier. And as I said, I only come out and support something that I personally use and believe in. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. PatriotSwitch.com. All right, folks, enjoy the show. Patriot out. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Patriot Underground. Today is March 4th, 2023. Thank you so much for joining me, folks, to discover the truth beneath the surface. I really do appreciate everybody out there taking the time to listen, and I hope you guys are having a wonderful weekend. Today, I'm going to be doing a situation analysis report, and we're going to be getting into a lot of different issues on this talk today. We're going to talk about the COVID Transparency Act. I'm going to give you my thoughts on that. We're also going to get into the latest on the war in Ukraine and the Taiwan invasion preparation that the Chinese are undoubtedly engaged in at the moment. We're going to talk about some of the German white hat military deals with Russia behind the scenes. I'm going to get into a little bit of Ben Fulford intel. We're going to talk about Kash Patel and Tulsi Gabbard, a little bit of Cue the Storm writer intel as well. We're going to talk about TikTok, Elon Musk, and many, many other topics as well. So thank you so much for joining me tonight, folks. I really do appreciate everybody out there. Like I say, taking the time to listen, it really means the world to me. So let's get started. Now, just the other day, we found out that Senators Mike Braun and Josh Hawley have reintroduced a bill that would require fake President Joe Biden to declassify intelligence related to the origins of COVID-19, specifically the possibility that it leaked from a lab in Wuhan, China. And of course, we've all heard this story, and I'm going to give you my take on it in just a moment. Now, the bill is called the COVID-19 Origin Transparency Act. And the senators obviously believe that the American people, as I do, really not just the American people, but all the people of the world, deserve to know the truth about the origins of the plandemic, and that declassifying this intelligence is going to help prevent future pandemics. At least that's according to the official statement that they put out. Now, this act unanimously passed the Senate, but we all know that the whole lab leak theory is cover for the real attack vector. We all understand, folks, that this was not a lab leak out of Wuhan. Okay, this was cover. That whole story, this whole narrative is cover for the real attack vector, which was the 5G electromagnetic radiation, which induced pneumonia amongst many individuals in Wuhan, China, and of course, northern Italy. And I believe it was in somewhere in Spain, I think it was Madrid, when this whole story originally hit the news. And what they were doing was they were experimenting in Wuhan on how to maximize the deadly effects of 5G by developing the jab, which we all know is the real killer. That's what gain of function is really all about. This whole gain of function research that we've been subjected to hearing about over and over and over again, and for good reason, but we're being gaslit as to the real objectives of this research. It wasn't about developing a virus, but rather it was about developing an efficient bioweapon which they could camouflage as a pathogen. Problem, reaction, solution. This is how they always operate. And we have to remember, folks, that there is a very significant reason that this so-called virus has never been isolated. And that's because it doesn't actually exist. Remember that the real die-offs began after the so-called vaccine was rolled out. We know, of course, it's anything but a vaccine. But again, the real die-offs began after the vaccine came out. The vaccine was supposed to prevent all these people from dying. And it did the exact opposite. So all this discussion of a lab leak, in my view, is nonsense. I happen to believe that during the course of these investigations, we're going to come to discover that the cabal was disguising the nature of the research they were engaged in Wuhan. And while all the evidence seems to be pointing toward a lab leak of a man-made virus due to the outbreaks which began in that city, the reality is that they were concocting a bioweapon as a proposed solution for a fake virus that they needed a fake PCR test to diagnose, and of course to generate all of the fear to stoke up that MKUltra programming within the population and to get people to comply with this agenda. So in the end, we're going to find out that the real COVID-19 research that supposedly was being done in Wuhan and of course in China, Ukraine, we've heard so much about that, the real research was on how to create this bioweapon and to have it communicate with 5G. This is a transhuman agenda. So all of this gain-of-function research had to do with the jab itself, not the creation of a virus. But this is just where we are right now in terms of the disclosure process. Right now, it's an investigatory process, which is really just another scene in this movie. There was no origin of COVID, but there certainly was an origin of the proposed solution to it, which we all know was a manifestation of biological warfare. And eventually, the rest of the public is going to be brought up to speed on that. But the disclosure process is happening at an accelerated pace, and I can't even believe, folks, how many things are being revealed in mainstream publications. Just the other day, a story came out, I believe it was through Disclosed TV that I saw this, but they were talking about a hidden corridor that had been discovered close to the main entrance of the Great Pyramid of Giza in Egypt. And then in Newsweek, just the other day, I saw an article talking about the underground cities in Bakhmut and Soledar. And actually, I'm going to read a little bit of this article because I think it's very important. Now, you've heard a lot about the paramilitary group Wagner, all right? And there's an individual by the name of Yevgeny Prigozhin, which I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that. That's a Russian name. He's leading this Wagner group, essentially this paramilitary mercenary force, I guess you might call it, that is on the front lines fighting for Bakhmut, really as we speak, in eastern Ukraine. And he said that he hopes to take control of the region's quote-unquote underground cities, and this appeared in Newsweek, that can be used to house large numbers of not only personnel, military personnel, but also tanks and heavy military equipment. And he said, quote, the system of Soledar and Bakhmut mines, which is actually a network of underground cities, can not only hold a big group of people at a depth of 80 to 100 meters, but also tanks and infantry fighting vehicles which can move about there. And of course, he's referring to this extensive network that we've been hearing about. Now, in Newsweek, they refer to them as salt mines and caves, but they do actually talk about the fact that there are at least 125 miles of tunnels underneath the city of Bakhmut. He described the mines as, quote, the cherry on the cake, when explaining why he thought the capture of Bakhmut would be so significant. Now, it goes on in this article to talk about these vast underground tunnels, which have previously been, apparently, I had no idea, but they had been used to host classical music concerts and even soccer matches. And they're actually decorated in certain areas during the wintertime and accessible to the public. But we know, folks, that this is just a whitewash, okay? They're starting to reveal the truth about what is actually underneath the ground. That beneath the crust of the earth, as far as most of humanity is concerned, this is all uncharted territory, but things do exist down there, and we're starting to see it come out in the mainstream. Now, not only that, this individual, I'm not going to try to pronounce his name again, he said that stockpiles of weapons had been stored underground in Bakhmut since World War I, and that it is considered to be a, quote, serious logistics center. So this is absolutely in line with everything that we've heard from the insiders, particularly Gene Decode and Kerry Cassidy, who have talked about Bakhmut in some detail. and essentially that this city is so strategically important that all of the mercenaries, all of the Western mercenaries, the NATO troops that are there, are all in and around Bakhmut to prevent it falling into Russian hands. And by many assessments, when that happens, and it could just be days away now, that really is going to be the final straw, if you will, before the Russians march on to Kiev and essentially just completely take out, or occupy, I should say, the rest of Ukraine. And meanwhile, we can see that China is very actively preparing for their invasion of Taiwan. And specifically, they are boosting the production of semiconductor chips in anticipation of this incursion onto the island. And I've talked recently about the reasons for that. There are several biolabs that are not only on the surface, but beneath the surface as well. And in addition to that, there are many, many deep state actors who are still very much in control of Taiwan. Now, we have talked about in the past, it's been quite a while now, but I know that I've covered this before, that Taiwan is the biggest producer of semiconductor chips that are used by the tech industry. And it turns out that China, in anticipation of this incursion into Taiwan, is actually pumping almost $2 billion into its top memory chip maker in anticipation of what's going to happen when they actually pull the trigger, so to speak. Now, the semiconductor manufacturer is called Yangtze Memory Technologies, and it is set to receive almost 13 billion yuan from the state-owned National Integrated Circuit Industry Investment Fund. And this was actually reported by Bloomberg recently. So this is pretty incredible. They are boosting the production of these chips because they know exactly what's going to happen and how necessary it's going to be for them to be able to provide these chips to keep their tech industry going as this war rages on. Now, this move comes after the U.S. Commerce Department in December added this company, Yangtze Memory Technologies, to its so-called entity list and blocked the firm, along with dozens of other Chinese companies, from purchasing U.S. chip technology because they know that a Chinese incursion into Taiwan is imminent, and this is where the majority of these critical tech components are manufactured. And Washington, in recent months, has tightened restrictions on Chinese chip makers. And, of course, they've cited national security concerns and the ability for the technology to be used by the CCP and their defense forces. Now, according to the U.S. rules released last week, the chip makers are benefiting from $39 billion in government funding, and they must agree to not expand capacity in quote-unquote countries of concern, including China, for at least a decade. To no longer rely on foreign imports for chips, Beijing has sunk billions of dollars into building up its own semiconductor industry over the past decade. And this is because they are poised to destroy the deep state semiconductor chips with built-in backdoors, which are produced in Taiwan. So we can clearly see that China is preparing for this invasion. And we also know that Russia and China are continuing to collaborate militarily. And this will be the rationale that's provided by the deep state to prompt World War III. Now, as this is all heating up, meanwhile in Germany, we're finding out more and more about the backdoor deals that they've made with Russia as NATO continues to dissolve. And recently, a German defense minister said that his country cannot protect itself in a war. He said that the army of his country is understaffed, it doesn't have adequate equipment because it's been neglected by the federal government for decades. And all of this has led to the realization amongst the powers that be in Germany, the white hat military powers, I should say, not the CIA Langley-controlled stooges, but the actual military apparatus in Germany has come to this conclusion that they are not interested in fighting a war against Russia. And therefore, they've made backdoor deals. And of course, it's not just simply about munitions and the ability to wage war against the Russians. They are reliant upon Russian energy. And so the military white hats in Russia have been constantly stopping and interrupting millions of munition shipments of artillery, of military missiles, combat vehicles, etc. to Ukraine. And you should also remember that the German prime minister went to a secret meeting with President Xi of China. And in this meeting, they discussed the BRICS alliance and how Germany is going to ultimately create their own gold-backed banking system that will connect to BRICS. Now, this may take a few years to come to fruition, but this is already in the works. And around the same time, President Donald John Trump will create the U.S. gold-backed system as well, as we see the full rollout of Nasara and Jisara. And so what's happening really here behind the scenes, folks, is that the white hats inside of NATO, the commanders, the leadership, have met with several high-ranking leaders inside the European Union. And the fake Biden regime was not invited to participate. So they gathered in these secret meetings to discuss, amongst other things, the U.S. attack on the Nord Stream pipeline. And so there is some significant panic going on inside of NATO right now, not just NATO, but the UN, the EU, Davos, the CIA, MI6, it just goes on and on. Because this meeting, they're fully aware of, took place without them. Now, obviously, nobody wants to talk about these meetings openly because NATO is trying to prop itself up, it's trying to appear strong. But the reality is that it is unraveling. And there are countries that are choosing to not support NATO behind the scenes. And they want an investigation into Biden. They want an investigation into the CIA attack on the Russian pipelines. Not only that, we can also talk about Turkey and bring them into the fold as well in this conversation. As I've mentioned before, Turkey undoubtedly plans on leaving NATO. They've already had plans to join the BRICS countries. But they're publicly supporting NATO as a final gesture and a sort of stalling maneuver because they know that inevitably NATO is going to dissolve. And if and when Turkey, I shouldn't say if, but when Turkey defects from NATO, that's going to be essentially coffin nails for that military alliance because Turkey is so vitally important in terms of their military might. And of course, we could also talk about Italy. Italy is against NATO as well because they, just like Germany, are dependent upon Russian energy. And then, of course, there's also France. France is one of Russia's biggest customers in terms of buying food, buying grain, petroleum. And this is true about at least half of the European Union. And so when you see Germany publicly stating that they don't have the power to fight Russia, they don't have the resources to fight Russia, you can see the writing on the wall, folks. They don't have the military stock. They don't have the resources to be able to contend with Russia, and it's becoming clearer and clearer by the day. Despite what the mainstream media is selling the general population, people in the know inside of the European Union, inside of all of these unelected bureaucracies, the commissioners, the public relations people, all of them, they know that this is a losing battle. And yet, they're being coerced to continue to fight on. I mean, a lot of these countries, in a sense, are kind of between a rock and a hard place. You have to understand here why the white hats inside of NATO had this meeting with these top EU officials and leaders, and why the fake Biden administration, and of course the U.S. military apparatus were not invited. And it all centered around the intelligence coming out of this war theater that the Ukraine is falling. The Ukraine basically is dead as a nation state. I'm going to talk about that in some detail in just a second here. But the U.S. is not going to send troops and European soldiers. They've made it very clear that they do not want to fight. They don't want to head east into Russia. You've heard many, many reports about what's happening, especially around Bakhmut. I mean, the average lifespan of these poor people who are being conscripted and forced to fight is 4 hours. I mean, they're just wiping out the Ukrainian security forces. Any warm bodies they can put on the front lines, they're doing it, and these people are getting absolutely obliterated. And it really is tragic to witness this. But the point here is that this is being recognized more and more and more by an increasing number of individuals in power positions, specifically white hats in the military in these NATO countries. Now, I happen to believe that this is all part of the pantomime, that these defections were planned for quite some time ago. And as this offensive heats up and as it becomes clear, because Russia hasn't even begun to unleash its military might, and when that happens and they really take their thumb off the safety, it's going to be defection after defection after defection. And NATO is going to completely dissolve. This is my researched opinion. And especially as we get closer and closer to the exposure of all of the criminal activity, including the plandemic, the creation of the so-called virus, the collapse of the fiat banking system, the collapse of the three-letter agencies and their credibility, the collapse of NATO. All of these things are interconnected, and of course, money laundering is at the heart of it all. Once you take away their ability to wage war economically, it's not going to be long before they have to capitulate. But of course, they're not going to simply surrender. They're going to try to go scorched earth, and that is really the danger that the White Hats have been contending with. As this deep state goes into panic mode, and they want to create war, they want to cause distraction, they want to cause chaos, and they hope that this is going to buy them some time to be able to somehow elude justice, as it always has historically. But the world is now paying attention. The world is now awakening at a level and at a speed that has never before been seen in all of human history. This really is the war to end all wars. Not World War I, and certainly not World War II. But this time, we are actually going to defeat and root out all of these Nazis and bring them to justice. Now, a moment ago, I mentioned that Ukraine is essentially dead as a nation state. And this information came out. It was Colonel McGregor, who is a commander of the 1st Squadron of the 4th Cavalry, and he's also a close friend of Donald Trump, and he keeps weekly briefings through back channels, is my understanding. And even Trump once proposed this individual, McGregor, as an ambassador to Germany. So this is an individual who's very high level, and he came out and said that Ukraine is dead as a nation state. And he pointed out that the population of 38.7 million people is now down to about 18 million. And that number is, of course, going down and down and down with every engagement that they have with the Russians. I mean, folks, they are literally putting 70-year-old men on the front lines to fight the Russians. And young kids as well. I mean, it's absolutely horrific what's going on over there. Meanwhile, you've got over 40% of Ukraine's infrastructure within these city areas has been completely destroyed. And of course, you've got all of the refugees as well who are not planning to return after leaving because they're not going to go back into this war zone. They're going to be spread all throughout the world, particularly in Europe. So he pointed this out, and this is really a lost generation inside of Ukraine. It really is sad to see. But the U.S. armed forces that Donald Trump built up have been essentially depleted over the past couple of years in terms of their constant, well, as a result, I should say, of their constant munitions, donations, and money given to Ukraine. This has all been strategic. So therefore, we don't really have any interest in attacking and fighting Russia. We can only provide, from what I understand, and I think this is something that McGregor pointed out as well, perhaps 50,000 soldiers to send to Ukraine. But that's not going to be nearly enough to effectively wage war. So keeping Zelensky in power isn't going to last much longer, folks. This is probably maybe go on for a couple more months. But the simple matter here is, again, it all boils down to money. The money going in there, of course, we know this is a money laundering operation. It's being run by the military-industrial complex. And of course, what they do is they filter the money into the Ukraine. And then that money ultimately finds its way back to the United States, back to the deep state. And so, as this is going on, and at the same time, the alliance is really destroying their ability to launder money in the first place, it's kind of bringing their war machine to a grinding halt. And this is what McGregor is pointing out. He's also talked about how China is giving weapons to Russia. There are U.S. weapons production facilities in China, and that's helping China to actually double the production of their weapon systems. And these weapons are going to Russia, because if Russia loses the war, well, China understands what that means for them. And so they're not going to take a chance. They're going to back Russia. And as a result, we are going to see, as a part of this pantomime, the buildup. I mean, we're already seeing the buildup. We're living through it. But we're going to see a simulation, I believe, of World War III. U.S. weapons that are being created are making the warmongers rich, we know. And of course, they're being resold all across the world to foreign enemies. Most of these arms don't even make it to their destination. That's also, that's a conversation for another day. But I think we all understand that it's not as if every single weapon is making its way to the front lines and contributing to the war effort. There's also a massive black market operation going on. So Russia is really the only country that can do what needs to be done. And they've got to do it. And they are going to do it. They are going to bring in their forces from the south, from the east, from the north. Belarus is going to get involved. They are going to surround Kiev. They're going to take control of Ukraine. And this is the only way to send a message to NATO, to the US, to the EU, to the UN, that this war is already won. Russia is not going to retreat. They can't retreat. They know that Zelensky, who's just a NATO puppet, is threatening Russia on behalf of the West. He knows that they've already committed genocide in the Donbass. That's something that doesn't get talked about a lot, but certainly it's one of the main factors, probably along with the race-specific bioweapons, that Putin decided to go in when he did. And Russia is not going to tolerate these types of threats and attacks against their own people. And so we can see what's really happening here, folks. And by the way, this is all connected to the Council on Foreign Relations, which we know is ultimately run by the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. And of course, at a higher level, the Jesuits, the Masons, the Knights of Malta, etc. And so what we've really got here is a war that's being fomented primarily as a distraction as far as the deep state is concerned, because they don't want all of this disclosure to reach the consciousness of the people of the world. But it's going to, regardless of what they do at this stage. Nothing can stop what's coming. Now, the surrender of the Rothschilds and the collapse of the Rockefeller stranglehold over the United States of America corporation is going to allow all of us to live like millionaires. And Ben Fulford calls this the upcoming golden age of hydrogen. And he said that this is the big story behind all of the news about the U.S. debt limit being reached, the defeat of Ukraine, and the takedown of the fake Biden regime. You got to understand that the Rockefellers have used their control, and they have over 200 foundations all over the world. Not only that, they've also got control of the Fortune 500 companies, and they've used that to hide the fact that they really are the masterminds behind the war in Ukraine. And not only that, the attempted jab genocide, and much more. And we're seeing the Rockefellers being thrown under the bus by the rest of the deep state. Now, to understand this whole scenario and to understand the involvement of the Council on Foreign Relations, first of all, you have to start by recognizing that so many members of this fake Biden regime actually belong to the Rockefeller-controlled CFR. And that, of course, includes Kamala Harris. That includes Anthony Blinken, Janet Yellen, Lloyd Austin, Mayorkas, John Kerry, Susan Rice, William Burns, Kurt Campbell. It just goes on and on, folks. There's a huge list. And these people who are directly involved with fomenting this war, because they have so much to lose and so much to be exposed as the result of this war, well, they're now panicking because the world is rejecting not only their information, but their money system. All of their sanctions, all of their political policies are being rejected en masse. And this is exposing what's really going on behind the scenes. All of the oil giants have pulled away. The Federal Reserve is closed up. Congress is going after Fauci. The plandemic is being exposed. On and on and on. And as Ben Fulford points out, the very first act of the so-called Biden presidency was to protect Rockefeller interests, specifically their oil interests, by canceling the Keystone Pipeline. And that would have allowed the American people easy access to reliable energy supplies, reliable oil, not controlled by the Rockefellers. And so this war in Ukraine can really be seen as a Rockefeller attempt to force Europeans to buy oil and gas from them and not the Russians, as we know. And then, of course, that ties in the Nord Stream pipeline sabotage. Now, Ben Fulford, who, by the way, I'm working very hard to get on my show. I think I've mentioned this in the past. It's just the time zone. He's in Tokyo. I'm on the East Coast. So we're trying to figure out a time for him to come on. But he is interested in coming on, and I'm very much looking forward to talking to him. But in one of his most recent reports, he talks about his own involvement with the Japanese, and not only that, the Rockefellers, through all of his different contacts. Now, he said that at one point, about a decade ago, he asked the Japanese finance and economy minister, Hitsuo Takanaka, why he handed over control of all of Japan's stock market listed corporations to institutions controlled by the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. And that those, of course, include BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, the usual suspects. And he was told that Japan was forced to hand over its corporations because it was being threatened with earthquake weapons, tectonic weapons. And this was before the disaster at Fukushima. And then the subsequent attack on Fukushima, which I believe occurred in March of 2011, it's hard to believe it was that long ago, but this was a mass murder attack on Japan that was intended to force the country to shut down its nuclear power generation and buy oil controlled by the Rockefellers. And as we know, the recent plandemic and quote-unquote vaccine campaign is leading to record profits for Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, etc. All of these companies are controlled by this network, this criminal Khazarian mafia network of families like the Rockefellers. So they've done everything in their power over more than a century now to prevent high-end technology that would dramatically improve our standard of living, like hydrogen, for example, as a cheap, non-polluting, and virtually limitless fuel supply. You got to remember that over 70% of the cost of modern economic activity, 70%, comes from energy. And the Rockefellers have been suppressing human progress by choking off energy and making sure that it comes from expensive oil that they control. And you can just imagine, folks, what this world would look like. I mean, you want to talk about taking the boot off of our necks. 70% of our money, ultimately, is eaten up by fuel costs. We're talking about a lifestyle. I mean, you've heard it said many different places that we can all live like what we understand now is a millionaire lifestyle. But eventually it's going to get to the point, I believe, in the future where money is not even relevant in the same way that it is today. But of course, we've got quite a bit more work to do and quite a bit more of this war to fight before we get there. But that is ultimately what the future holds. And we all know that the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, they have a list of crimes that is so long and so extensive. I mean, these are hardcore Satanists. But even if you don't get into the satanic ritual abuse and the adrenochrome harvesting and the human trafficking, even if you just look at what's visible on the surface, their list of crimes is so extensive, it's literally mind-blowing. I could sit here all day long and just read crime after crime after crime after crime. It's impossible to fully wrap your brain around it unless you've been ultimately just dedicated to understanding their network and have that be your full-time job, because they have been involved in such deep levels of evil. And of course, they've been in the business of suppressing human progress, like I said now, for centuries. But the point is that recent world events are the result of this international alliance that's aimed at overthrowing the rule of this corporatocracy. And the United States of America Corporation, the military-industrial complex, is their enforcement arm. And I do believe the other two pillars have already fallen, the City of London and the Vatican. And now we're seeing a desperate attempt by the Rockefellers to prevent bankruptcy by forcing everybody into using CBDC, central bank digital currencies that they plan to issue. But what's ultimately going to happen is that these digital currencies are going to be rolled out so that they can fail as a part of game theory to assist in the collapse, the controlled demolition of the fiat system. The bankruptcy of the Federal Reserve Board means that the entire U.S. financial system is imploding. Bank of America is insolvent. You've heard Jim Willey talk about that. So is Wells Fargo. And many, really all, of the big Wall Street banks due to their exposure from derivatives. They're in Chapter 11, but they can't reveal it to the public because it will literally bring down the entire financial system. And the white hats aren't quite ready for that yet. And that's why we're seeing the deep state continuing to try to create and stoke the flames of this war to expand it at any cost, so that they can distract and they can cause chaos and somehow maneuver the narrative and manipulate the consciousness of humanity to have us all destroy one another so that they can live to fight another day. But it's not going to work. The military alliance knows their game plan, and not only that, they have safeguards in place to prevent the world from completely going off the rails. Now, as far as TikTok is concerned, very interesting intel coming out of Q the Storm Writer's Telegram page, one of my main sources of intel. He was talking about why the Democrats are now all of a sudden going after TikTok. And even European governments are doing the same, because all of a sudden, apparently, TikTok is a national security threat. And you got to scratch your head and wonder why they didn't do this years ago. Why now are they going after this platform? Why is the fake Biden administration, why is the EU and the UN, why are they so concerned about TikTok? Well, it turns out, folks, that TikTok, just like so many other things, so many other platforms, so many other individuals, is not what it appears to be on the surface. My understanding is that inside of the CCP, there are indeed white hats, and they are getting ready to begin the process of exposing the Democratic Party. And not just the Democrats, but also the rhinos. The entire deep state. Anyone connected to the pandemic. Anyone connected to the so-called virus. Anyone connected to all the cover-ups and the censorship and the real collusion that's taken place behind the scenes. You got to remember that TikTok is one of the world's largest social media platforms. Not only that, it is a spying application that goes through your IP address. And it basically has the ability to spy on everything you do in your home that connects to your IP address, all your phones, your computers, your servers, your data, your messages, your accounts, your passwords, etc. Now, the word is that the deep state, in their panic, are trying to do everything they can to cancel TikTok because they know that TikTok is going to start releasing information on the deep state, on the cabal, on all of the elites, the CDC, the Democratic National Convention, NATO, UN, Davos, etc., etc. And so what they're trying to do is they're trying to ban TikTok by saying that it's a national security threat. And they're trying to label the information that's coming out of TikTok as misinformation. And not only that, folks, you have to understand something else. This platform is the single most popular social media app right now for young people who are waking up in droves right now, particularly over the climate concerns that have been caused by these train derailments. And so this is absolutely amazing to witness, folks. Behind the scenes, President Xi, obviously Donald John Trump, President Putin, Bin Salman, Modi, the Space Force, and the folks, the generals inside of Cheyenne Mountain are the ones who are really pulling the strings. And that's why we're seeing such deep levels of panic all over the world. And it's really obvious in light of this information why Trump decided to distance himself from Elon Musk, to distance himself from TikTok, to distance himself from the sources of all of this disclosure that is now increasingly being introduced into the public narrative space and taking root in the consciousness of we the people. The developments that we're seeing on social media and the disclosure that's happening, which is emanating from these platforms, none of these happened by accident. These are all aspects of this military operation. Now, I mentioned Elon Musk just a moment ago, and I've talked about his connection, or his company rather, I should say, Neuralink, and his connection to the brain chip industry. Now, this has caused a lot of confusion amongst folks because, again, it appears that Elon Musk, regardless of whether you think he's a good guy or a bad guy, he's being coerced or not coerced, or whether you think it's the real Elon or not, the fact of the matter is that the individual who is portraying Elon Musk is doing basically all of the right things except for promoting this whole brain chip agenda. So it seems. But you have to understand that it's not just Elon Musk that's involved here. It's also Bill Gates. It's also Mark Zuckerberg. And of course, almost every intelligence agency and government around the world that have funded similar operations. And they're running these classified projects. And they're still funding them, by the way, to create and implement this brain chip agenda. Now, what's really going on here with Elon Musk? And how does this connect to social media? How does it connect to DARPA? How does it connect to AI? Well, folks, this is a form of AI, and as we know, whoever controls the AI ultimately is going to control the world. And whether or not AI becomes a part of the new world that we go on to create on the other side of this storm is a question that remains to be answered. But there are very different agendas at play here. And once again, I do believe that Elon Musk is playing a role. The cabal wants full control over humanity. And when I say full control, I'm not just talking about where you eat, where you work, what your political views are. We're talking about actual ability to track the thoughts inside of your brain and to identify dissidents and kill them or enslave them. This is a big part of their dark agenda, to have full planetary control and to wield this technology in order to do so. But on the other hand, there is a parallel agenda going on. a choice that's ultimately going to be given to humanity about whether or not we want this technology, whether or not it's going to be useful and beneficial to humanity. And Elon Musk has been saying that it has to be the people's choice about whether or not and how we proceed with this brain chip technology and really, on a larger scale, AI itself. Now, what I'm understanding is that behind the scenes, they already have created wireless microchips. They've already been created. They don't need to be implanted. And so all of these discussions in the narrative space about brain chips that are actually physically connected to the brain, it's basically just theater to introduce and to push this issue to the forefront of the conversation. So why did Elon Musk do this? Why did he infiltrate the microchip brain implant industry? Well, he did it so that he could expose it. Like I said, this military technology, even beyond what Musk is talking about, this wireless technology has been in existence for more than 30 years. They have chips that can connect wirelessly to the central nervous system. And from what I understand, they do have the ability to have great beneficial aspects and attributes to them that will actually help humanity. So what's really going on, folks, is that Elon Musk is going to collapse the deep state brain microchip industry, and he's going to create chaos in this industry on purpose. And so much damage is going to be done as they try to roll out these brain chips that are physically attached or implanted into the brain that eventually folks are going to reject them outright. This is all part of game theory. But Elon is developing an alternative that actually has the ability to heal with 7G frequencies, Tesla frequencies. And of course, this is all part of the rollout of this advanced technology, right alongside free energy. We've been hearing a long time now about the healing power of frequency. And if you have wireless chips that, you know, don't actually have to be implanted into the brain and can actually communicate with the central nervous system and heal us using frequency, obviously that is a great application of this technology. And this is something that we're not only going to want, but we're actually going to need on the other end of this war in order to heal the population. So this is really, really exciting, folks, what's happening. I happen to think, and this is one of the things that I've been kind of scratching my head about recently until I started to get into some more research about Elon and this brain chip agenda. And now I'm starting to see here that just like with Twitter, he is infiltrating so that he can expose and bring down these dark industries from within. And in the process, offer the public a different version of this same technology that has the ability to dramatically improve the quality of our lives. Everything is connected, folks. And as we get closer to real exposure, to the truth about all the different attack vectors, to the truth about all the different theaters in this war, we're going to find out that all of this connects back to Obama, to the CIA, to the Pentagon, and of course, the higher levels, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the Vatican, all the way up this vertically integrated pyramid. Now, the last thing I really wanted to talk about tonight before I signed off was a little bit of intel that I came across having to do with Tulsi Gabbard. And not just Tulsi, but also Kash Patel. Now, Q the Storm Rider pointed out that, by the way, we also have to remember that John Durham is still working in the background here. We have to give him time because he is going to connect everything. But Kash Patel, this guy still holds one of the highest U.S. military clearances in history right alongside Ezra Cohen Watnick. And he has quite a decorated history. He served as chief of staff to the acting U.S. Secretary of Defense. He worked at the National Security Council. And he was also a federal public defender, a federal prosecutor. He worked on national security cases. And as a legal liaison to the U.S. Armed Forces. And I think that might be the most significant. But under Donald John Trump, this military alliance that's operating out of the Cheyenne Mountain complex, and many folks believe that Ezra Cohen Watnick is a central figure to this devolution plan, these military operations that are currently in progress, we have seen Kash Patel become more and more significant as time goes on. There's a reason that this guy keeps popping up on all of the Patriot channels and dropping information. He knows what's really going on here. And he's doing all that he can to expose not only the CIA and the Pentagon and the Plandemic and Fauci, but he's also exposing the deep state and pointing to very specific reasons why it exists and talking about Obama's Five Eyes agencies in the process. So Kash Patel, very, very important individual. Remember Q told us he was one of the individuals to watch and to trust. But another individual who has not necessarily been trusted outright by the Patriot community is Tulsi Gabbard. But Tulsi Gabbard is an infiltrator into the Democratic Party, folks. She has been red-pilling millions of people. And I just talked a little bit about Kash Patel's pedigree. Let me just mention a couple things about Tulsi Gabbard. She was in the 29th Infantry Brigade Combat Team. She graduated from the Accelerated Officer Candidate School at the Alabama Military Academy. And she served in the Psychological Operations Command Infiltration Unit within the military. And why is that significant? Well, she is an expert at psychological operations, psychological warfare. And that's exactly what we're engaged in right now. And, you know, Q the Stormwriter asked some very important questions. You know, why did she meet with Trump several times since 2016? Why is she and Kash Patel so often at the same events speaking? This is an individual who infiltrated the Democratic Party in order to expose it. And ultimately, we are going to see Tulsi Gabbard come forward with absolutely staggering red pill information. I mean, she's already taken, I think it was somewhere like 750,000 of her personal followers with her and left the Democratic Party. She's, like I said, been responsible for red pilling millions of people in the process. And not only that, she was also one of the first leaders to expose the U.S. military bioweapons labs in Ukraine. Tulsi Gabbard is definitely an individual to watch, folks. She knows what's coming, and she is playing a very important role in terms of red-pilling the masses. So, folks, this is an exciting time to be alive. There is so much happening right now. Every single time I scroll through Telegram and I look at the news, I am just blown away by how much is happening, by how much disclosure is accelerating, coming, and how people are really coming alive in the process and joining our ranks every single day. We are winning this war. There is just no two ways about it. The deep state is in a full-blown panic mode. They have been infiltrated, like I've talked about in some detail tonight, by many, many different white hats, covertly over the past couple of decades. And in the next few months to a year, I mean, who knows, folks, how long this is all going to take to play out. But we can now see that the white hats have put all of these individuals in strategic positions to be able to bring the enemy down from within. White hat Trojan horses that are going to break the back of this cabal once and for all. So hold the line, Patriots, and remember, we win because God wins. All right, folks, hopefully you enjoyed this podcast. You can let me know in the comments. Please take a moment to hit that like button if you did, and please check out the links in the description. Make sure you follow me on the different platforms I'm on. I'm on BitChute, Rumble, and Podbean. Also, please check out patriotunderground.shop. I just added some new items there, folks. Very affordable. I got hats, t-shirts, hoodies, beer mugs, stickers, lots of different choices, very affordably priced, high quality items, and it helps me out a tremendous amount. Please go there and make a purchase today. Also, folks, please check out patreon.com. That's where I release all of my new material first as a way to say thank you to my patrons for supporting my work by making a monthly donation. And I just want to say thank you out there. I just want to say thank you to all of my patrons for being so amazing and so supportive for such a long time. And finally, folks, before I sign off tonight, a quick reminder to check out PatriotSwitch.com. This is an absolutely amazing company. I continue to be impressed by the high quality of their products, by their customer service, and by the testimonials that I'm getting from members of my audience who have, like me and 2 million other Americans, have made the switch and are just absolutely blown away by the quality. And more importantly, I think most importantly, are so comfortable now that they know they have an option where they can purchase these items that they need somewhere other than these big box conglomerates so that they no longer have to funnel their hard-earned money to the cabal. We are still very much at war, folks. All of us have to do our part. Make the switch today. Be the change you want to see in the world. All right, folks, thank you for listening. I'll be back soon with another report. God bless and Godspeed. Patriot out.